This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, the power of doodling. Tech startups encourage innovation that begins in the margins. Plus, award season snubs and surprises. Amy Diaz, the People's Film Critic, maps the performances and movies that could have been contenders if only they'd been given a second look. But we begin with the other gun violence. Over the weekend, 100 residents of Newtown, Connecticut joined a march on Washington in support of gun control. Thousands of marchers listened to speakers calling for bans on assault weapons and challenges to the NRA's stronghold on politics. Since Newtown, debates over gun violence have focused largely on how to keep guns out of the hands of people who kill other people. The truth is that suicide is the leading cause of death by gun violence, by a margin of nearly 2-1. It's a toll that's not often discussed, but one that some law enforcement and public health officials say is worsened by easy access to guns. Leon Nafalk wrote about the topic in the Ideas section of the Boston Globe, and we're happy to have Leon back on Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me on.
What are the numbers? How many gun deaths by suicide compared to homicides?
This was sort of my starting point for the story because I was totally startled to learn that of the 30,000 some total gun deaths in 2010, which is the last year for which we have complete numbers, 19,000 were suicides and 11,000 were homicides, which basically means that 3 out of 5 people who died from a gunshot wound killed themselves.
It seems staggering to me. It feels like something we don't hear much about. Did you get that sense?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a lot of the public health researchers who study this say the subset of gun deaths that are suicides are basically ignored in the public debate over gun control. Someone said that it was like the stepchild of gun violence.
Well, several of the people that you spoke to argue that the problem is about access, which I wonder about, because if a gun is not available, won't a person bent on suicide find another way to do it?
This is like a really common intuition, and it's probably one I would have shared initially as well. Yeah, someone who's really bent on suicide might, but the truth is that a lot of people who kill themselves aren't really bent on suicide. And also, they're so much less likely to succeed if they try to poison themselves or if they cut their wrists, that having a gun around ends up being like a huge risk factor because you're just so much more likely to die if you attempt suicide with a gun.
So the argument, I guess, is that those suicides would potentially be preventable without access to a gun.
Yeah, because they take longer or because you have more time to change your mind. A majority of suicides are impulsive. Like, there was one study that I saw that through interviews with survivors showed that something like 25% of people who had attempted and survived suicide said that they had seriously considered suicide for less than 5 minutes before making the attempt.
Wow.
And 50% said it was less than an hour, and 80% said it was less than 24 hours. So, you know, are you bent on suicide if you've been thinking about it for a day? Maybe not.
Well, let's look at some of the reforms that are on the table, increasing the rigidity and depth of background checks, shoring up mental health care is another one. A measure to make schools safer. Any likely to have an impact on the number of suicide deaths?
Well, so one thing that helps a lot is extending the time between when a person decides to take their own life and when they actually have the weapon in their hand and their finger on the trigger. So one thing that achieves this is proper gun storage and gun locks. A couple of studies I saw that showed people who lived in homes where guns were properly stored, you know, they were in a safe or they were separated from their ammunition, people were just much less likely to actually go through with the suicide, or they were much less likely to die.
Right. Given that, that five-minute number, if there were a longer waiting period, they may think it through.
Right. Or maybe, like, you're trying to get into your dad's safe, trying to get his gun, and, like, because it takes longer, someone walks in or someone calls you, or you just think of something that prevents you from actually going through with it.
There is a graph that accompanies your article comparing rates of suicide deaths by guns state by state. What does this suggest to us? I mean, we can't assume that people are more depressed or more suicidal in one state or the other, can we?
Basically, the graph you're talking about, it comes from a study that a Harvard professor named Matthew Miller conducted. Miller compared people who lived in states with a high rate of gun ownership, something like 50% of households had guns in them, with people who lived in states with low gun ownership, where it was like 15%. Looking at those two sets of people side by side, he found that the rates of depression were the same, the rates of having suicidal thoughts were the same, but the rate of suicide was vastly higher in high gun states. He looked at the breakdown of suicide by firearm versus suicide by other means. Suicide by other means was the same in high gun states and low gun states, meaning that You know, people in high gun states were no more likely to hang themselves or no more likely to poison themselves, but they were more likely to shoot themselves.
So, of course, one of the most powerful voices in this debate has been the gun rights lobby, mostly focused in the NRA. Any indication yet of their response to the number of suicides? Part of their argument is that you've got to keep guns out of the hands of the wrong people. But it's a difficult judgment altogether when we're talking about suicide with a gun.
There's a couple different ways to look at it, honestly. And the one reaction I've gotten, like, since I published the story is, who are we to say that these people shouldn't do what they're doing? That sounds crazy to some people. It doesn't sound crazy to others. It sounds a little crazy to me. Mm-hmm. But there is this idea that, look, when someone murders you, it's really not your fault. If you're shooting yourself, like, you're making a decision to do that. Is this statistic that more gun deaths are caused by suicide than homicide, is that an argument for more gun control? Is that an argument for less gun control? I think it kind of depends on who you ask. I mean, to me, like, especially given those numbers on how often suicide is impulsive, it means definitely more gun control. At the same time, someone who owns a gun might say, well, why should my rights to bear arms be curbed because of someone else's decision?
And I guess what you've been hearing is, why should someone's right to kill themselves, I guess, although not guaranteed in the Constitution, some hold that as a personal right.
There was an op-ed in the Times, like, actually the same day that my story came out, by a woman who, I think she was a speechwriter for John Edwards, and she was writing about how she suffered from depression. She was describing how she had a burglary attempt on her house, and she was really shaken by this, and afterwards she thought about seriously about getting a gun. And she, like, went through all the steps, applied for permits, and then finally she decided not to because she remembered that she has depression, and so she decided, I don't want a gun around. And the headline of the story was something like, please don't give me the right to have a gun. Something like that. And the first comment on the story was, you know, this is classic, like, nanny state approach where the government's supposed to protect you from yourself. So some people do see it that way.
Well, it has been made clear that among the reforms proposed by the White House, nobody is seriously talking about the government taking guns back from citizens. Mm-hmm. So what could possibly be done to reduce gun suicides among millions of gun owners and their families that already have access?
Right. Well, so the public health people make a really deliberate point of not talking about gun control. They're basically taking as a starting point that people have guns. We have this many guns in the country. People are going to continue to have guns. And so one thing they've talked about is, like, a social norms response. That's mm-hmm. what they call it. And they refer back to, like, the Friends Don't Let Friends Drive Drunk campaign. You know, there was a time when it would have been totally unthinkable to take away someone's car keys from them because they were drunk. And now it's seen as, like, the mark of a caring friend. The folks at Harvard, like this guy David Hemingway, who is one of the leaders in this field, he says, well, what if people did something similar when their friends or their loved ones were going through a hard time, going through a divorce, or they just lost their job, or they just were suffering through some kind of depression? What if they said, you know, hey, you know, maybe you want me to hold on to your gun for a while?
Leon, to your knowledge, has Vice President Biden or Obama or other politicians who are looking at this gun control issue made references to the roles gun play in suicide deaths?
So I have not seen anything like that. We talk about gun control as a country, like, whenever something horrible like Newtown, Aurora happens. Those are mass murders, you know, and suicide doesn't really enter into the discussion. Same time, some people point out that, well, look at what happened in Newtown. That was first and foremost the suicide. It was a suicide that took a lot of other lives with it. But perhaps if that suicide had been prevented, so would the murder.
Leon Neyfakh writes for the Idea section of the Boston Globe. Leon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You can find a link to Leon's report about gun violence and suicide by clicking on over to wordofmouthradio.org and join the conversation now in progress about the topic on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.